It was a very interesting article by Jeff Wicks on News 24 today. Jeff is an investigative journalist with News 24. And Jeff, good afternoon. You were outlining a theory, which apparently is quite widely held, that the kidnappings are, a lot of them at least, being done by crooks whose former habitat was the cash-in-transit scene.
Yes, John. Well, we've seen how versatile these types of individuals have been in the past. I mean, there's always been a considerable amount of crossover between cash and transit heists, killings in the minibus taxi industry, and political assassinations. And what our sources are telling us, and it does seem to be the general consensus, is that there is a distinct possibility that some of these cash and transit heistmen will look to ply their trade in the realm of kidnapping, simply for the fact that it's a low-risk and high-reward pursuit.
But is it a pursuit, according to the experts that you've spoken to about this, is it a pursuit that gets you returns? I mean, I don't know what the success rate is for cash-in-transit robberies, how many a gang has to attempt before they hit some kind of a jackpot.
Yeah, well, it's difficult to gauge that because, I mean, to be fair, kidnapping for ransom, especially in the South African context, has been somewhat underreported. But experts in this field are telling us that the trend has been on the up since 2015. And obviously that's cause for concern. And, of course, the snatching of the Moti brothers put a very visceral face on it. And it does seem to appear that it is a successful pursuit in that people will very willingly pay to have their relatives released.
Yeah, one imagines so. Is there any sense of how sophisticated the kidnappers are in terms of pegging the amount that they believe the kidnapped person or persons, in the Moti case, family will be able to raise and will be able to pay?
Well, I think we have to consider, John, that these are highly organized syndicates who don't strike at random. They do intelligence gathering on their targets and a fair amount of reconnaissance before they strike. And from what we understand, there is an intimate knowledge of the family's financial capabilities, what they'll be able to raise, so they can go in with an informed amount. And, you know, a lot of eyebrows were raised when we reported that the Moti brothers were returned for a sum of 50 million rand. And it seems like an incredibly large figure, but all of the people we've been speaking to who deal with this on a weekly basis say that the amount between 6 and 7 million US dollars is not uncommon.
There are that many families who have access to that amount of money.
Well, that's part of the modus operandi as well, especially targeting Muslim businessmen. And, you know, this was the view of an investigator who deals with these kidnappings on a regular basis. And his rationale was that, no, well, these Muslim businessmen have access to large amounts of cash, and they also have a network of friends and family members who are also business people and who can marshal a ransom in or with a considerable amount of haste. And that's why we see these large figures being bandied about.
And perhaps another example, Jeff, of the enormous damage done to our society by the hollowing out and repurposing of crime intelligence, because with a decent crime intelligence network, there might well be more whispers reaching the authorities about who is involved in the cash-in-transit gangs who are turning their attention to kidnappings, and greater information coming their way to possibly prevent kidnappings or act to find the kidnappers more quickly and so start a process of deterring the kidnapping fraternity.
Absolutely. I don't think you could make a more valid point. And I think that point rests upon two pillars. The first is that the crime intelligence capacity has been decimated by state capture. In an ideal world, we should have projects which are ongoing to infiltrate these gangs and disrupt their activity. And in the event that someone is kidnapped, we should have the capacity to reel in the captains relatively quickly using technology like grabbers. And I mean, it's something we've looked at extensively at News 24. The fact that the police have spent 100 million rand on grabbers, which they cannot use. And so now they're stuck with three broken down units, which are out of date and close to being obsolete. So that doesn't really put us in a very steady footing when it comes to combating this from a police perspective.
Jeff Wicks, thank you very, very much indeed. Investigative journalist with News 24.